First announcement, our monthly deacons meeting will follow this second session. Also, this is the time of year that we do our annual baptism service. If you have never been baptized and recognize this as a royal imperative and wish to do so, please sign up on the bulletin board. Okay, let's go. All right, let's get ourselves in fellowship if we're not. And I need to make a correction on page 8. It didn't sound right when I did it. I switched it around somehow, screwed up. The moon radiates a different light than that of the sun. A digital heat detector, which I've seen them do this, will register a slightly cooler temperature in the light of the moon versus the shade of the moon. So that was wrong. What else did I get wrong? Oh, it was Brenda's hairdresser, not her. She can't understand her fingernail operator. She has trouble with that language problem. All right. We were in 2 Peter 1. We just looked at the verse there. So now we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as the lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns. That's the day of the Lord. And the day had not dawned by any stretch when Peter wrote this. And centuries passed before the day dawned. And the day dawned in 1948. Because you cannot underestimate the importance of Israel being taken down as a nation for cause, rejection of their Messiah. Finally, they took the big hit. And they were dispersed, and their nation was overturned to a non-nation status quo, and they were scattered. But hey, they come back and reestablish a nation in its infancy in 1948, and that's the day dawning, the day of the Lord, in my opinion. I don't know of any other event that would qualify for that. So, and the morning star arises in your hearts. What's that? The morning star is a star that at certain times of the year comes real strong and preceding the coming day, and it's very bright. The alignments have to be right for this to happen. And the morning star arising in your heart is through two things: understanding the prophetic word and being in the right time frame. This morning star arises in your hearts. Okay. That's how I see that. Moving on, the Star of Bethlehem, the bright and morning star, Venus, they are not planets. There is no indication whatsoever that this is the case. I don't know how to interpret this either, but the believer in Revelation 2, this is the one where overcomer is coupled with keeps my works to the end. An overcomer by 1 John 5:4 is simply someone who believes in Christ, or 4:5. It's someone who believes in Christ. All who have believed in Christ are overcomers. obviously. They've overcome what? Spiritual death and the second death. That's the definition. They've overcome that by faith in Christ. So if you're out there, all you have to do to be an overcomer, overcome the ultimate thing to overcome, that is being born under spiritual death and the curse that is attached thereto, leading to being in the lake of fire forever, body, soul. To overcome that, you believe in Christ and you step free of it. But in this instance, the one who keeps his deeds, my works, the directive will of God, operational will of God, whatever you want to call it, until he who keeps my works until the end. End of what? His or her life. Who's hanging in there when phase two is over. That's that simple. So, anyone out there, anyone you get to talk to, anyone you can encourage to get back in Bible class, as you're led by God the Holy Spirit, get back in Bible class. Get back on track. Because a part of the deeds to the end is adherence to your right congregation, your right pastor, to the end. That's a part of the deeds. I'm just reporting what's in here. It's not about being self-serving. It's Paul's godly jealousy for his flock, his allotment of believers. And it's a legitimate type of godly jealousy. So, keeps my deeds to the end. To him, I will give authority over the nations. So this is the hierarchy that is over the regular nations during the millennium. He, and this is not referring to Christ directly, it's referring to the individual believer who is an overcomer who hangs in there to the end. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. In other words, he will eliminate people. He will take people out who commit high crimes during this period of time. Whatever position in life they are, he'll take them out. You'll be the Lord's hitman. You go out and you take care of this mess. End it. Rod of iron. The rod of iron rule doesn't mean oppressive. Doesn't mean people don't have freedom. It doesn't mean you're taken out because you won't believe. It's because you committed some particular infraction or crime or sin that puts the individual in the category of deserving capital punishment. That's what it is. So, those of you who do that, you say, I don't want to do that. Well, you will then. As vessels of a potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father, chain of command. And I don't know what this means. And I will give him the morning star. Maybe it'll click in my brain before the rapture, but I don't know what it means. I don't know what, in addition to the rest of it, to be given the morning star. I'll give him Venus. You know, that's what we call it. And what's that mean? I'm not asking for an answer. I'm just telling you the honest truth. I don't know what that means. So there are secrets, and maybe that's okay. Okay, some scriptures that now make sense in light of the current cosmology. I want to reiterate. If you're slow to come around, it's okay. If you're still coming around, it's okay. I understand. People are ingrained with this. But just avoid, well, I'm not coming around because I'll be the object of ridicule. Well, then why are you even around this doctrine? You don't want to be ridiculed, bad mouthed. They slander us. They speak ill of believers who believe certain things. And so there's fear of ridicule. Well, then I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be doing this. There is pride. It's a big factor. Pride. And then there's, I don't know, there may be others. There's love of the cosmos. I just like this stuff. It's real sexy, you know, spacecraft running out to space and blah blah blah, and all the comic books and the movies and all this junk that NASA keeps cranking out. They got to keep this thing going. So now the Earth's spinning faster. When'd they pick up on that? No, I've seen it twice. The Earth, they say, is spinning faster. How much faster? Does that mean that our day is now going to be shorter? Because even if it's just a few miles an hour, we ought to be able to detect a difference. It shouldn't be for us, but that people of this stature, they have been through this educational pipe and all this business, that they would knowingly lie about this. You can't go to astronaut school and not go anywhere and not know that this is a joke. But we don't ask questions because it's like a religion. You don't ask questions. It's the Catholic Church. You don't ask questions. You just do what they tell you to. And you believe what they tell you to believe. You don't ask any questions. Ask them, how do you create an anti-gravity chamber where pencils are floating around and their hair straight up? What? I think that's hairspray. How do you create a chamber that doesn't have any gravity in it? How do you replicate that? How do you turn it off? Because that's what you portray in these things. People floating around. Really? You notice they never explain this. It's not top secret. Yeah. Some scriptures that make more sense, and with this in view, Daniel 10:4-11. Now these were the visions of my mind as I lay on my bed. I was looking, and behold, there was a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew large and became strong, and its height reached to the sky, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth. Okay. Again, this is like, how does this work on a sphere? Matthew 4:8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He gives him a panoramic view of all the nations that existed at the time. You say, well, you can only see so far. I know. But Satan is communicating this. He took Christ up on a high mountain. Satan relocated our Lord, his physical body, to a high mountain as kind of the final and ultimate temptation, and gave him a panoramic view of the nations of the earth, and made it, and asked him, and told him, of course, if you worship me, I will give you all this. And of course, that was turned down. So there's another one. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, Jews. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. Okay. There's another one. If you're on the other side of a thing, it's hard to see. But if you're on a flat plane, it's so obvious that you could see this event transpiring and unfolding. If you're looking up. John 17:1, Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said. Now, heaven's real estate, right? And, of course, under the old view, heaven would be way out there somewhere, millions of light years away. And the earth spinning and running around the sun. If a person prays towards Mecca, they know what direction to face. They face a specific direction. And if heaven is straight up above the dome, it's easy. Anywhere on earth, if you lift up your eyes to heaven and pray, you're looking straight towards the place that you're praying to. But if you're spinning around, and again, this would be so small compared to the rest of the universe. Anyway, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. It's a place. Isaiah 13:10. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not shed their light. The sun will look dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. Genesis 11:4-7. This one made more sense to me than it had before. Now, I realize there is one problem with it. Were they so stupid as to think they could build a tower high enough to literally reach heaven? Apparently so. Because why would you, if you were just going to build a defiant platform 10 stories high, or whatever it was, and raise your fist to God, they said, let us build a tower to reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we'll be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. They knew the directive will of God. They knew the directive will of God was to spread out and cover the earth. But they wanted to keep everything centralized and build up this system of tyranny. The Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they have begun to do. And nothing which they propose to do will be impossible to them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they'll not understand one another's speech. The let us part is the Trinity. Let's go down and confuse their language so they can't understand one another's speech. That broke that party up. But the whole idea was to build a tower to reach to heaven. They're imbued with the satanic spirit to overthrow God, the throne room. Heaven, they want to overthrow the throne of God. That's the whole point of Satan's deal, to ascend to heaven and take God's place on that seat. And he keeps trying, to no avail. And I gave you this one. I looked, he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became like sackcloth, and the whole moon became like blood. Ecclesiastes 1:5, and also the sun rises and sets, and hastening to its place, it rises there again. A repeat. Revelation 1:7, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. Again, Isaiah 66:1, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Well, a footstool is always relatively related to the seat, some seat. So, I guess everything's his footstool then, because it would be the whole universe. It isn't the case. Again, to me, excuse me, it is comforting, personally, to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is only a few thousand miles away from us. Not taken millions and millions of light years and way out there somewhere. And that heaven, where the throne of God is, and the earth constituted as a figurative footstool, because it's beneath the throne, underneath, and it's smaller, clearly, and it's subject to what's above it. So that clears that one up. Some characteristics of earth, too. It is flat to accommodate the new Jerusalem. The city is laid out as a square, and its height is as great as its width. And he measured the city with a rod, 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. You can't set that on curvature. In fact, all construction today is of that nature is predicated on flat. Whether it's a canal, and don't cite the Panama Canal with locks. That's because the two basins are different heights. The Suez, there are no locks. Straight, almost 100 miles. I mean, I think anyone can see something going like that, and you draw a straight line, you go over it. But if it's flat, then everything lines up. It's as flat as a pancake. Well, it might have some bubbles pumping up, the mountains and stuff, but it's flat. The earth, that is. God's heavenly throne will be relocated on the new earth. The earth and the footstool will be one and the same on the new earth. Nothing beneath it, that it's all that territory. Revelation 21, 1 through 5, 22, 1 through 3, we saw that, the doctrine, reviewed the doctrine of eternal state. The luminaries, sun, moon, and stars, will not exist. Instead, God's glory will provide constant light. It'll be pleasant. It'll be constant. You can ask questions all you want. Well, how do people rest without any nighttime and all that? It's all going to be taken care of. The glory that was shining into the darkness on D plus 1, D plus 2, all the way down to D plus 4, that glory will be the glory that will dominate. Darkness will not be in our vocabulary as such. Night, darkness will not be in our vocabulary. It'll always be light. Darkness will be abolished, both spiritual and physical. No darkness. It's very useful now. Physical darkness, obviously. There will be no oceans. Before the flood, one ocean. After the flood, the seven seas or whatever they want to call it. There will be no oceans. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first earth and the first heaven and the first earth passed away. And there is no sea. The new earth will not have a dome on it, will not need a dome. One could ask a million questions about the new creation and not get an answer. That's not our problem. In the millennium, we may get more answers because there are going to be prophets all over the place, especially among the Jews. Every man will prophesy. Now, it may not be some big long-term thing, but there's going to be prophecy. It will crank up again. There's a millennial verse on that. And there is no ocean. Okay. I'm going to let you go a few minutes early. I took you over a few minutes the first session, so we'll stop right here. Thank you, Father, for the time. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.